SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Come back! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
It's level three. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. The pips, the players, the hustlers, the people in the bus, and everybody else in between. We're breaking it down. Big man on campus will step up and in and join us in a couple of moments. We'll talk Philadelphia 76ers, Toronto Raptors, Brooklyn, Boston, Jay Wright's future, and more. A lot of stuff going on right now. Countdown to the National Football League draft is on, and you know, it's kind of flying under the radar right now, the NFL draft, because of the NBA playoffs being so crazy, right? Like, you know, we all knew the NBA playoffs were going to be cool, and I hyped it up a lot. Oh, you know, this year's going to be really to be, if you're a fan and, you know what I mean, it's entertaining basketball. There's a lot of drama. We'll put it this way. It is. It's good reality television. But if you're a bettor, It's a little disheartening for me. It's one of these deals where, like, you know what I mean? Like, I love the NBA. I was waiting for the NBA playoffs. We do well betting the NBA, but you know, I was waiting for the playoffs to, you know, raise the units and, oh, this is going to be great. We're going to get into it. And we do, and we're a week in, and it's like, oh, boy, this stuff is whacked. Right? Like, you could, you know, you think you're going to pick the right side. Like, we talked about it with Tony Finn earlier. I'm not going to, you know what I mean? Like, or Teddy Covers had Minnesota as well. I'm not going to call these guys out for taking Minnesota. Oh, how could they take Minnesota? Whatever. Minnesota had a 26-point lead. Yeah, 26-point lead. They lose the game. They, you know what I mean? The Toronto Raptors are 17-0 all time when they're leading by double digits at the half in playoff history. They lose the game. The Miami Heat tonight went on a 21-0 run in the third quarter. They lose the game. They also lost Kyle Lowry. So Kyle Lowry's got a hamstring issue right now. And I don't know, man, if it's just me, but remember the old days, hamstrings, they weren't that serious. It was sort of like, oh, he's got a hamstring, but, you know, he'll... Now it's like these hamstring pulls and stuff, man, these things turn into like 2 and 3 weeks, and, you know, like no... You know when they say, like, there's no such thing as minor surgery? Anytime you're getting cut open, it's not so minor. But even now, like, there's no sort of minor injury. Like, when I saw Scottie Barnes get stepped on by Embiid, I didn't think he was going to be out for the series after. Right? When you hear these other stories, oh, he's got a hamstring. Booker, you don't think he's going to be out for like, oh, you know, 3 weeks suddenly. Man, no assumptions in this world. All right. Shout out to our girl Sooner Lisa in Oklahoma, who's just checked in our chat. And I'm finally allowed back in the chat. I couldn't get in for the last 2 days. It was kind of upsetting me, ironically enough. I couldn't get in, of all people, to my own chat because I couldn't get into Gmail, Google, YouTube, or anything like that. But I just was allowed in a couple of moments ago. It's strange because I just did the same damn thing over and over. And they had an old phone number of mine. But for whatever reason, I finally got a text to this number. And it said, it was almost like they got tired of me bothering them. They said, is this really you? And I said, yes. And then suddenly, bing, they let me in. So it's nice to be able to type again. And I don't have anyone to tell us suck it or anything like that, or to tell off. I understand there's chaos at Bellator tonight. The late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. We're kicking it. Countdown to tip off is on. We are live in Toronto, Ontario, Canada tonight, and the Rageonomic World Tour continues. We'll be in Las Vegas, Nevada. Really is international. We'll be in Las Vegas in a couple of days as well. So we're bouncing all over the place right now. Love it. You know, though, I want to embrace it, but anybody that travels knows there's always, like, stress that comes along with it. And like I said, anyone that travels knows there's always unforeseen issues. Right? It's one of these deals. And I've already had a couple of these unforeseen issues pop up already. But big man on campus is going to pop up with us in a couple of minutes. It's been too long. We'll talk some basketball with Big Man. Looking forward to the NFL draft next week. But if you're just joining us right now, I think we've given you a lot of good information tonight. Our guests have talking a lot about the quarters and the halves. So how to approach this tomorrow and make some money. Let's go with the Toronto Raptors plus 0.5 in the first quarter of play. Let's go with the Boston Celtic and the Brooklyn Net game here. I'm going to follow Rob Vino's trend on this, and he just laid it out about how the first halves always go over the number between these two teams. But I like the first half to go over the number, but I like Brooklyn minus 160 on the money line. I don't want to lay the 2.5. I'll lay the 60 cents. I bet you this number is going to go up, so if you like it, bet it now at the 60 cents here. And you get Memphis and Minnesota. Two of the highest scoring teams in the first quarter of play. All three games of this series have gone over the number. And it's up to 57 right now. And the lowest amount that they put up was 60, which was the other night. And I expect it to be pretty high scoring once again here. You got to pull a trigger on the over of the first quarter. Like I said, all three games in the series have gone over the number. So we're all caught up in everything here. Big Man on Campus is going to step up in it. I want to find out what happened in Bellator. Whenever I hear crucifix, I'm like, oh, yeah, there's a crucifix. Makes me think of my boy Gary Goodridge. Old school. That's not a place you want to be. That's a bad place to be. The Late Night Anger Management class. Big Man on Campus steps up and in. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late Night Anger Management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci, breaking it down. SiriusXM channel 159, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates on the Sports Grid Radio Networks. Let's bring in a man. It's been too long since we've spoken to him. We've got to tip our cap. The series isn't done yet. But there's always fireworks every time the Toronto Raptors and the Philadelphia 76ers meet in the playoffs. Going back to 2001, when Vince Carter missed a shot in Game 7. Against Allen Iverson and company, 2019, Kawhi Leonard hits the shot against Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers. And then, of course, on Wednesday, the shot made by Joel Embiid, deadly assassin type of stuff. Let's bring in a man that is a Philadelphia 76er fan, Big Man on Campus. Steps up and in. What's going on, Big Man? How you doing, my man?
What's good, Gabe? Good to hear from you as always. How's everything? I know you're a little upset, but hey, maybe the Raptors can be the first team to come back.
I'm holding out hope. So listen, let's get to this in a couple of minutes. And me and Big Man are a lot friendlier than the last time. And see if that times have changed. 2019, man, it was hot. I was hostile last time. I hated the Sixers, and I know you hated the Raptors. Now it's like, yeah, whatever. I knew the Raptors were in tough. And I knew that, yeah, crazy things are going to happen in this series. But before we get to the Raptors and the Sixers, when everyone was talking about the 76ers in Philadelphia, Jay Wright announces his retirement. Now, you're a big college basketball guy, so that's why I'll throw this at you first. How much did this surprise you that Jay Wright steps down after 21 seasons and at the age of 60 years old?
I think it surprised me a lot. I mean, I think it surprised a lot of people. I mean, Jay Wright's only 60 years old, Gabe. I mean, he's got, still, I probably imagine, in, 10, 12, 14 years. But he decided to call it quits. And, it's becoming a big problem in college basketball. A lot of coaches deciding to walk away. A lot of coaches saying, you know what, I'll go and be a radio guy or I'll be a TV guy. And, look, Jay's not going to have any problem making a living. He has a good life. I mean, he's kind of the man here in Philadelphia. I got to tell you, though, I'm not sure if we see this is the last of Jay Wright. I have to feel like in a year or two, if the Sixers called him and said, hey, Jay, come back to Brink's truck up. We'll give you what you want. I've always hoped for that. I don't know if it'll happen, but it's harder and harder to be a coach nowadays. You got a lot of things that you didn't always have to deal with. All this, transfer stuff and the NIL stuff. It's just making it a lot tougher and a lot more problematic. I mean, it's easy to go to some of these big schools, and it's hard to retain a lot of these guys. Jay struggled mightily, Gabe, at bringing in big recruits and them succeeding. He's always kind of built the kids 3-4 year players, but it was definitely surprising. A lot of people were blown away that in this area that it happened.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there as far as what you just said. And like, it is true. Number one, 60, and it's crazy, he's 60, but he looks young, right? He feels young. It's sort of like, wow, this guy's got a long time. And to put it in perspective, guys, Coach K coached for 47 years, right? For 47 years. So Jay has a 21-year run. But at the same point in time in life, big man, you know, these guys, they're not obligated to stay until they're old, right? And it become characters of themselves. Some guys don't want to let it go, but you're right. Coach K was a hell of a run. He was around a long time. Roy Williams, you know, walked away, I think, due to health reasons. Boeheim hangs on right now. But I think another thing that you said, too, he's done a great job getting the players and these scrappy street kids and, you know, Philly-type tough. And he's had talent. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. He's sent guys to the NBA. He's had NBA talent. But as you just stated, the NIL stuff and recruiting-wise, it's a tough sell, isn't it, big man? You know what I mean? Number one, it's a hard school. You have to actually go to class, and they take their study seriously there. It's cold weather, and how much money can I make? How much are you going to pay me to go there? Let's just be real. I think it's the writing on the wall, right?
And it's also very demanding. I mean, people don't think about how tough it is to be a college coach. I mean, you have to literally—
it's year-round.
Yeah, exactly. You have to constantly recruit. You have to constantly give, you know, it's a yearly job. I mean, you might get a week in the summer where you can go out and, you know, go to the shore or something. But, yeah, it's few and far between. You got to spend your life in the gym. And, you know, we've seen a lot of coaches kind of turn their back. I mean, not that Krzyzewski and Roy, I mean, they're older. But
look at Sean Payton in the NFL, big man, different sport. But he even admitted, I'm burnt out. I need a rest. He said, and he even brought up, he goes 17-game season. It's even longer. He said they're going to add an 18th game. It's already a year-round deal. And he didn't even say never again. He goes, I just thought I needed to step back right now. And I think we'll see more and more of this. But something that you said, and I agree with you because I wanted to ask you this, I would be shocked and floored if it's like, oh, yeah, next year he's the new coach of the USC Trojans or whatnot. Or something like that. I'm just using them as an example. I'm not saying Enfield's on the way out, guys. I just use them as an example. But NBA is different, isn't it? You know, and listen, everybody's bringing up the Lakers, but hell, the Lakers, that's not a good job, bro. Like, people think it is and stuff. Yeah, and by name it is, but I don't buy into the Jay Wright Lakers stuff, but it's hard to believe that this guy would never coach again, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's still fairly young. I mean, we've seen it here in Philadelphia. It happened this season. I mean, Fran Dunphy, who was at Temple for a lot of years, I mean, he's 73 years old, was off the last two seasons. He decided, hey, I'm going to come back and coach. Now he's at LaSalle. So, I mean, you know, obviously it's a little smaller of a job, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Phil Martelli, Philly.
Yeah, sure.
Phil Martelli, I don't know, I'll go to Michigan. I'll just sit on the bench, not as much stress. Next thing you know, he's coaching a team again.
I mean, in a year or two, if the Sixers, let's say, decide that Glenn Rivers isn't the guy, I mean, I would have to strongly consider offering him what he wants. I mean, this team struggled to find a coach. I mean, the Knicks are probably interesting to him at some point. And the NBA is a lot less, you know, tough. I mean, you don't have to recruit. It's not, you know, as you
don't no rule as violations. Yeah,
right. You're dealing with men. You're not dealing with kids. You don't have to deal with grades and stuff like that. It's a little different. It's a little easier. And remember, in Philadelphia,
it's a younger NBA now, big man, as well. You know what I mean? Like, before, you know, you see some of these college guys, they come in and they can't deal with, you know, they're too old school, right? Like, it's just, this isn't going to work. Like, Jerry Tarkanian and stuff, you know, came in. It's like, he's not an NBA guy. Jay Wright's a smart X and O guy, but he's also a players guy. Like, a good example, big man, is Cliff Kingsbury. When Cliff Kingsbury got hired into the NFL, now we can question, you know, whether he, you know, and all this and his record at Texas Tech, but people said, oh, he's way too young to run an NFL room. He's only 32 or whatever. You know, he's way too young. And he had a great comeback in which he showed the average age of Texas Tech and the average age of the Arizona Cardinals. And it was like the same, bro. It was like average age of Arizona player, 24. Average age of Texas Tech guy, 22. He goes, I think I'll be fine relating to them. But I've always thought that too, big man. Like, there's a lot of college basketball coaches that I don't think would be good NBA coaches. But I always got the feeling Jay Wright is the type of guy that would have the temperament to be able to get the best out of an NBA player.
Yeah, I would. I don't think anybody's offering this, but I would love to see some odds on him being a coach, like over the next 3 years. I think it's got to be.
I know you've wanted it for years. You and I have been talking about Jay Wright to the Sixers for years.
Yeah, I remember when they decided to move on from Brett Brown. I yearned for them to make a big offer to Jay. I think he would be perfect. Remember, you know, he's the guy in this town. He wouldn't have to move. I mean, he would own the city. And you know, you have a new challenge. You've won an NCAA title. You know, how amazing would it be, Gabe? Think about this. Let's just say I don't think they're going to win the title this year. I don't think they're going to win it next year. How crazy would it be if Jay Wright wins a national title for Villanova and wins an NBA Finals here in Philadelphia? Could you imagine?
Yeah. I've never seen it. That's when you sell him on it, when you sit him down. So you'd be a legend. There'll be a statue next to Rocky Balboa, bro, in front of the library steps.
And again, you can offer him a lot of money, and you could say to him, look, I mean, in the summer, you've got all summer to do what you want to do. As a coach, I mean, they'll hire good assistants. I mean, it's not as
tough. You read my mind, exactly. Because I'm like, yeah, listen, he's got an X&O guy in college, and it was a little simpler. But as you stated, you got a bunch of badass assistants. When you're an NBA head coach, your drill is just to, you know, get along with the players, get the best out of them, and everyone else is handling a lot of the X's and O's. Stuff. All right, so we're up against it here right now. We'll continue the conversation with Big Man on Campus on the other side. We'll get his thoughts on what he thinks about Neptune when it takes over at Villanova, and we'll get into the Philadelphia 76ers and the Toronto Raptors. I can't avoid it forever. I can't avoid it forever. It's a late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Night Anger Management Class continues. We're breaking it down with Big Man on Campus. I am Morency, SiriusXM Channel 159, the Money at 1090, ESPN Radio, and a 50,000-watt juggernaut up and down the coast. So, Big Man, before we get into the NBA, and of course the NFL Draft next week, we'll be in Vegas breaking it down live in Sin City. What did you think about Jay Wright's replacement at Villanova?
I think it's a good one. He obviously was, you know, coached under Jay. He was the video assistant, was an assistant there for 8 years, I believe. Is definitely the guy, I think, to step in and do the job. He's young. I mean, Kyle Neptune's, I think, 35 or 37. He's a young guy. I think he'll do a great job recruiting. He's actually from, Gabe, Brooklyn, New York, won a state title in Brooklyn back in the early 2000s. And actually, that was a very good team he played on in high school. He played with a lot of those high-end NBA guys. I think he's going to do a really good job. He actually did some decent things at Fordham. That's not an easy school to win at. He did an okay job there. I think he comes in and really attracts getting those New York kids again. I liken him a lot to what Jamie Dixon did at Pittsburgh years ago. He's going up to New York, into Long Island, Connecticut, North Jersey, and getting those kids to come play at Villanova while also getting the Philly kids, which one thing Jay didn't do, he wasn't always getting them. He got the Gillespies and the Archidiakonos, but, succeeding with those kind of kids and having successful recruits like that, I think he'll do a good job. I think it's the guy they need to have.
The Big East is going to be interesting, real transition, too. And, we have a new coach at Seton Hall right now coming off of success of St. Peter's. But as far as Jay Wright and, something you said before, too, Big Ben, it's the thing. Now, people like you and me were like, well, you're a great coach. You can keep doing it. But as you stated, and people don't get it, it's freaking stressful, right? Mm-hmm. It's a year-round thing. We talked about it with Ash Barty or about it. No, I didn't talk with her, so I don't want to be saying, we had her on the show. But, the tennis player, Ash Barty, she's only 25, right? Number one tennis player in the world. She's won a bunch of majors and grands, major events and stuff. But she said, it's too toxic. Like, she's not just playing the tournament. Like, you've got to work at it all the time to stay at that level, and it is draining. And I was just thinking about Jay Wright in this sense, about that. It is a stressful run. He can take a step back. And I was looking, so he was only making $6 million. So that's nice. Like Villanova, it's a lot of money for Villanova to come up with and for college basketball. But really, bro, like you stated, man, ESPN, they would give him the same thing, basically. A little less, but if he was willing to work, they'd give him more even. You know what I mean? Look, dude. Aikman just got $18 million a year, right? Romo's making big money. Like, they pay big money for this stuff right now. And you don't have to worry about recruiting. You don't have to worry about NIL deals. You're making a nice, smooth $5-7 million a year to do two games a week on TV, big man. It's not a bad life.
Give him $9 million and say, come coach the Sixers. They're paying Doc Rivers $8 million a year. $8 million a year. I mean, he can make $3 million more a year. It's not going to be as taxing, but you're right. I mean, that's a great job being one of those analysts or even sitting up in the pregame studio. You know, I would love to see him on a game. I think he'd be great. He's a suave guy, kind of that GQ guy. I mean, does he ever...
Oh, he's made for TV. Yeah.
Does he ever age? Like, it's amazing.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
him and Steve Lavin, man. They don't age.
Yeah. Steve Lavin's the same. You're right. You know what's funny, too? I thought the same thing about, right, when I was like, I was thinking, well, how old is he? And I was one of those deals, big man, where I was like, I never really thought about it because he doesn't look old. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you never really think, well, how old is Jay Wright anyway? Like, how old is he getting? But it transitioned. And, man, this NIL stuff is getting crazy, bro, isn't it? Like, we knew it would. And I don't have a problem with the players making money. But, I mean, there's some. There's talk like there's like $5 and $8 million NIL contracts in the making right now, big man, college football style in Texas.
Yeah, it's a tough thing to do anymore, man. It's there's a lot more things you have to deal with than you used to have to deal with. I get it. I get why he wants to kind of title it down a little bit. You know, I actually met Jay Wright one time in Ocean City, New Jersey, down at church. Very nice guy. Saw him on the boardwalk. Super nice guy. He's just a very loved guy around here. I'm not a Villanova guy. I don't like Villanova, but it's hard to not respect Jay Wright. But I'm hoping down the road, maybe sometime he'll come coach here in Philadelphia. I think it'd be incredible.
For the record, so it was Quinn Ewers. We know about the Quinn Ewers situation, right?
Yeah.
So he's the kid from Texas. He went to Ohio State, and he played it brilliantly, actually, didn't he? He goes to Ohio State. He cashes in on $1 million deal because he tells the sponsor, yeah, I'm going to go to Ohio State. He did. He didn't. He went, but he didn't play. So he goes, and then he leaves after, and – now, I think it's like $3 to $5 million type of thing, but I saw The Athletic a couple of weeks ago, not to get off topic, man, but it just blows my mind. The Athletic, this is from, I think, about 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago, whatever, there's all this playoff stuff going on, so it kind of flew under the radar, but says a unknown high school junior is set, you know, basically already has the deal in place when he goes to play college football. He's going to get $8 million, big
man. That's amazing. That's
$8
amazing.
$8 million, bro. Like, we just thought that's more than Jay Wright makes. Like, we just talked about $6 million a year. Like, the kid.
Yeah.
I never played a game, big man. Not even at the pro level. Never played a game at the collegiate level, and he got $8 million.
Yeah, that's it's a new world now, Gabe. It's a new world, and you know that's the thing. You have to deal with. You're basically dealing with professionals now. You know, it's a different world. It's incredible. I didn't know that. Who is that? We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know because it's not the kid can't do the deal yet. I guess because he's in high school,
right?
Or I don't know the full whatever, but they don't know the name. Says it was believed to be the largest NIL agreement of all time. Was made public. A junior in high school inked a deal that could be worth more than $8 million. Neither the recruit nor the school was named. But basically, people believe it's Texas A&M or Alabama.
Yeah, that's – I mean, look, I'm all for
– You saw everyone accusing. Remember Jeff Fisher lost it a couple of months ago? Because right. People are like, man, how are you guys getting all these recruits? Where are like these deals, man? You know what I mean?
I'm all for letting kids make money, but I mean, $8 million a year. That's,
I don't care. I'm not one of you, big man. I'm not one of these guys. Oh no, they should be happy with the education. No, I'm not that guy. You know what? I am that guy though, big man. Hey kid, you get $8 million. You better effing produce.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like now it's different. Like before it's like, oh, he's a college kid. Leave him alone and stuff. Like I remember there was a kicker talking about, well, we should get paid and stuff. And I remember thinking, well, all right, kid, if we pay you and you miss the kick, do we cut you when you're kicked off the team?
Right.
No, seriously, big man. Like, you want to be treated like adults? You want to be treated like pros? Okay. You're cut.
Well, I guess they just say, well, we're not paying it. It's some company paying it. So, I mean, because isn't that how it works? Like, companies pay for it? Like,
private. But obviously it comes down to the school's powers. Well, look, like, you know what, like your guy's Barstool, your boys, they're sort of a big player in this stuff right now, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, they get sort of the hipper guys and stuff, but I don't know. Like, big man, I don't know. It's so secretive. And I, like I said, I'm not one of these guys. That we're, me and Big Man, we're not bitching about the kids making the money, but like, how do you justify paying a kid $8 million to play college football for you?
Yeah, I never really understood.
What are you getting out of this if it's your business? Like, really? Is he going to sell that much? Like, even the great Tim Tebow, who is ultra popular, Big Man, mm-hmm. he only sold, bro, like 70,000 jerseys in his career or something. I saw the number. It was like, yeah, it's a hell of a lot than anyone else ever has, but okay, it's not, you know what I mean? It sounds great, but I'm just stating. So in other words, it's still the same crap. There's some car dealer that's given some kid $8 million. He'll never sell that many Lexuses to make the money back, but he doesn't care. I don't know. They're betting on the games and all this stuff, Big Man. I don't know. It's the same thing that it's always been. It's just with bigger money at stake now.
That's always the thing. I never understood, like, when you get and you give these kids all this money, are you going to make that back? Like, what are you doing? Like, you know you're not going to make all that back. What exactly like, are you doing?
Then the kid, he's going to promise you, yeah, text, I'm going to score a touchdown for you. Don't worry.
But it's like, I guess these companies just, like, I saw, like, remember the kid at St. Peter's, that Doug Eater kid? Like,
I
saw he got a deal with, like, Buffalo Wild Wings. I guess they just look at it and say, well, I guess for the week that he's, like, relevant, and he'll just, like, talk about it.
I thought the same thing. I don't want to come after the kid, but I'm like, man, he scored 8 points a game, man, right? Like, during the regular season.
But I guess they're saying it's like, well, we have an ad budget, and we're going to, you know, we're just throw it because, you know, I'm sure he'll make something out of it, and I guess they have just so much money. I've even seen it, like, I have a podcast, Gabe, and I see how companies, you know, they just have these budgets where they just pick, like, hundreds of podcasts, and they just advertise, and there's no, you don't have to worry about selling a certain amount of stuff. You just,
oh, yeah. They're already in on it. They just, it's block sales. Well, you know, and some of it's natural, but it's just crazy. Like J.R. Smith is playing the basketball player. J.R. Smith plays college golf now.
Right.
Seriously. So he's pretty good too, right? So he has good grades and everything. It's just, what a life. So he's going to university and he signed an NIL deal with Lululemon. And I love JR and stuff, but I'm thinking, bro, these NIL deals are for the kids. Like, here's an NBA guy in college signing a deal with Lululemon.
Oh, wow, I'm seeing that, actually. I didn't see that. Yeah. Why does he, you know, he has to make money. I mean, this is his life now, I guess.
Yeah, he's great. He's allowed to do it. Why not, right?
Yeah.
No, he's a super nice guy, too, Big Man. Like the team travels in style, bro. Like, he pays for the meals and, like, you know what I mean? Like, they ride on a nice bus. Like, the guys are really happy that he's on their golf team.
I saw he tweeted on October 8th, 2021, 85 of my midterm, liberal studies class. So he's, like, actually going to school and stuff.
Yes, and I gotta admit, seriously. What a life.
Gabe, one of my dreams in life, when I'm, like, 40, and I'm hoping I have a good amount of money, I actually want to do the same thing. I'd love to go to school. Like, I've never went to college, so, like, I would love to go just to go.
Remember Temple? All right, listen, Big Man, hang on. We'll bang off one more segment with Big Man on the other side. We'll get into the NBA. We promised. But I was going to say, John Daly's kid just signed a deal this week with Hooters.
I saw that.
Which, that makes sense.
That seems like it makes sense.
Yeah, it also seems like it's going to end well, right? Like, I'd be like, don't make the same mistakes, kid. But nevertheless, more with
Big Man. Yeah, maybe you should look another way.
Yeah. Hey, son, I got you a deal with Hooters. Great. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci in a Friday Night Freak Show. The countdown to tip-off is on. It's inevitable. We got to get to it. Let's do it, Big Man. Philadelphia 76ers up 3-0. And I had a lot of people the other night coming at me. And you know what it's like, the trolls, right?
Yeah.
And I've been pretty troll-free, but anytime my teams lose, right? If the Bills lose, the Dodgers in the playoffs, you know, you suck. Your team, you thought you said they were going to win, right? And all this other stuff. And listen, I tipped my cap and I tweeted. You saw it, man. Joel Embiid's just unbelievable what this guy's doing. We'll get to this in a second. But I used you in a tweet because people are like, oh, Morenci, you're bitching about a ref. You don't even like the Raptors. You are a Philadelphia 76er fan. You and I tweeted the same thing at the same time when you saw me. I'm like, what the hell is this? You even said to me, I cannot believe they allowed that timeout, bro. Like, seriously, you ever seen that, Big Man? The guy literally was blocking Drake's view. And Drake six nets to the Raptors bench. Like, it's in the rule book, Big Man. You can't cross midcourt point freaking blank, bro.
Yeah, I was blown away they didn't call it. Obviously, I guess they'll just say, well, you know, people just, well, it was the guts of the game. They're not going to call a technical there in that situation. They should have. I mean,
yeah, exactly. They should. That's the rules.
You know, yeah. Again, it seems like the rules are only talked about when, you know, they feel like it. And that's the refs in the NBA. It's pretty common. But
yeah, it's a star thing. You're right, big man. And this time you have the bigger star. But it, you could get burnt by this down the road yourselves. You know, that's the way it works. You're right.
Well, and I'll tell you.
One thing, sorry, man, I was going to say, I spoke to a coach, Coach Young, who's on our network, great guy, coach at Monmouth, and because I was bitching about it a lot, and he told me, he goes, listen, because I said, how do you explain to me, coach, if it's in the rule book that you, it's an automatic technical, it should have been Raptor free throw, Raptor ball, game over. It's one of those things, oh, my God, and I saw the refs talking about it, and I thought they were going to call it, and he told me, he goes, they won't call you for that. He goes, he went a little far, but he goes, he said the same thing, he said, they're never going to call for that. Unless, big man, you're a coach and you cross midcourt to yell at them.
Right.
Right? If you start abusing them and cross out of your box, they'll tee you up. But they give you some leeway. And it's not an excuse, bro. The Raptors had a million chances to win the game. They didn't. It's just fate. But, hey, man, every time the Raptors and Sixers play, big man, it's a heart attack these games, isn't it?
Well, I'll admit, I mean, I had the over in this game last night, and I got the overtime, and I'm thinking, well, I'm going to need another overtime. So I'm thinking, Embiid, you know, if he doesn't make
you
that three.
You wanted to miss, eh?
Yeah, the game goes overtime, and I hit the over. But, yeah, look, Embiid's been terrific. I got to give the Sixers credit, man. I mean, defensively, they were really good in the second half. I mean, they held the Raptors to 39 points in the third and fourth quarter. They didn't do much in overtime. You know, but I think you can agree the Raptors are, you know, maybe a player away. Obviously, they struggled on the glass a little bit.
Siakam's team, new guys trying to carry it. You know what I mean? Oh, it's not the end of the world for the Raptors. It's a learning curve. It sucks that Barnes was out. That hurt them.
Right.
But I got to tell you, as far as the Sixers, big man, you got yourself a hell of a player in Philadelphia. Forget about Harden, man. Maxey. This kid's amazing. Like, he's been the difference maker. Like, Embiid's a stud, but Maxey's just a stud, man. This kid's amazing.
Yeah, he's super quick. I mean, he's great off the dribble. Yeah. He gets some big shots. He had a huge game. What was it, game one? Yeah, I mean, they're all playing well. I mean, Tobias, you know, hasn't been great offensively, but I thought he was nails defensively late in the game. Danny Green actually had some big shots for once. It seems like he, you know, he'll just go stretches without scoring for like 3 weeks. You know, they're obviously going to have tougher challenges. The Raptors are tough. I thought they had an ability to win this series, quite honestly, just with how the Sixers just couldn't defend and Siakam was just destroying them. But they've done a nice job on Siakam. He started to kind of struggle a little bit. I think he's like 13 for like 40 over the last two games.
Yeah.
But yeah, not having Barnes hurts. That was a rough one. It just happened to be chance. I mean, he's, you know, gets stepped on and that's that. But I got to tell you, I do think they win game four. I think they're going to make Philadelphia win at least another game.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. So you think, and that's it. I'm in Toronto and I feel like I'm going, and I don't want to make light of it because people go to a real funeral. So I'm going to say a sports funeral. Because and people are like, oh, Marantz, yeah, you're going. And, you know, I have some personal business to attend to, basically some music stuff that I have to deal with. So it's I have multiple purposes for it. But it is sort of like a sports funeral in a sense. But as I tell people all the time, big man, if the biggest problem in your life is I have to go to an NBA playoff game, then you got a pretty good life. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Oh, I got to go to a game. And I'm the eternal optimist. I'm with you. Listen, I just want them to win. You know, I'm going to lay it down on them. You know, and I've been doing well with the quarter bets and the half bets and stuff. So I haven't been getting my ass handed to me financially in the series. But as you stated, I got a feeling this goes back to Philly. And then Philly probably nails it down in game five after that.
Yeah, I agree with it. I would take the three. I mean, look, quite honestly, the Raptors played really well in the first half. Unfortunately, they just couldn't put it all together. And, you know, you have to wonder, can they get Barnes back? I mean, I think, you know, he was questionable last night.
Yeah.
He didn't play last night. But
I thought he could have played, exactly. Like, yeah. You know, I keep thinking this, you know, but what can he give them? What's the severity of it? And another thing is, too, I don't want to overreact. He is a rookie, but he's just so good, big man. Like, and he was a starter all year. Like, even though he is a rookie, he's another player that has an extremely, extremely bright future. So let me ask you, so you're leading with the Raptors getting the points in this spot. What about Boston and Brooklyn? A pretty contemptuous series so far. Do you think Brooklyn could get in the winner's circle now that they're going back to New York?
Yeah, by the way, nothing worse than that loser fan base in Boston. The absolute worst.
It just drives me crazy. Like, get over it, bro. He's not there anymore. It's been years. Like, really?
Yeah, dreadful people. Listen, here's the thing, though, about the Boston Celtics.
They're dreadful people. Like,
yeah, they're brutal. Here's the thing about the Celtics, though. Barely won game one. I thought they, you know, the Nets did everything well, or even in the first half didn't do anything well. And then third, they got it going, but still barely won that game. Kevin Durant's looked terrible. I feel like if they just turn it up a little bit, which I'm sure they will, they always do, you're back at home here. I would be really surprised if we don't see the best Brooklyn Nets team over the next two games. I think this series has gone seven. I think these are two of the best teams in the league. You know, Boston, I got to give them credit, though. They've been out without Robert Williams. Horford's played well. They've been able to kind of bother Durant, which I didn't think it was possible. They need to get more out of the bench. We haven't seen a good Brooklyn team, though, in the first two games. Now they're back at home. I think we see a good one. They were dreadful in the fourth quarter. How many teams have blown fourth quarter leads in this playoff?
Amazing, huh? I was going to ask you about that.
It never ends.
It never ends with these teams. And something I agree with you when you said this, too. Listen, I picked Boston to win the series because I thought they would just win a bunch of close games in a seven-game series type deal. And it was like minus 130, the series price, when it got posted, so I jumped on it. But it is true, big man. If you look, Brooklyn should have won game one. They have massive defensive breakdowns. Kyrie goes off for 39. They only get 23 from KD. They lose on some miraculous figure-skating, twirling, spin-back-a-rama play from Tatum. So, you know, it's like bizarro world stuff there. And then, as you stated, they had, you know, they were playing well. They had Boston. They're rolling them. They couldn't hold it together. And what happened? KD didn't hit a shot in the second half. Like, he goes 0 for 10 in the second half. That's two games that Kevin Durant is not himself. And you know what's eating him alive? He's a great player. I expect them to bounce back. The odds makers agree. We've got to lay some points to do it. But I expect the Nets to bounce back as well here.
I mean, conceivably, they could be up 2-0, the Nets, and they're not. And now you just expect for them to play their game. They should tie this series back up. I'd still take the Nets to win the series. I mean, it's you're going to get a great price on that. I would have some interest in that. Plus 340, I have some interest in that.
What did you think of you know, Minnesota had their chance, looked like Memphis, you know, sort of on the ropes there. I also took this series. I took Memphis to win the series. I laid the series handicap -1.5. So as long as it doesn't go seven games, I win. And, you know, Minnesota let them off the hook, man. Right? And as you stated, big man, it's tough, though, right? These players, you see it. Like Prince Achiuwa the other night on the Raptors, couple of free throws. And he said after he admitted, he goes, I've never been in a situation like that before. It's not the same as when you're playing UTEP in college or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, no. Yeah, he was on the Memphis Tigers. But, yeah, it's like it's not the same as hitting a free throw against SMU.
He's a hell of a player, though. That's a good get back from that Lowry trade. He's a good player. I will say, though, I'm really looking forward to kind of the deeper ends of these playoffs. I'd love to see Phoenix, Golden State.
Who the hell is going to be left standing at this rate, big man? Everybody gets hurt every night. That's like the thing. It's like, oh, well, he's hurt. He's out for weeks now. And it has an NCAA tournament feel to it, this stuff. But I'm with you. It's a fun run. And it's going to be some fun basketball throughout the playoffs. So before we get you out of here, big man, NFL draft coming up. We're less than a week away from the draft. I'm going to be in Vegas in a couple of days for this, broadcasting live from the MGM Grand. We're looking forward to it. What's the word in Philadelphia right now? What are you guys looking for? What's the NFL draft buzz in Philly?
Well, I think that people were pretty upset with the fact that they've not made any moves. I mean, they made a couple of moves for linebackers, which you needed to do, Hassan Reddick, Kaiser White. But, you know, they haven't went out and made a move for a receiver. They need another receiver. There's been talk maybe Deebo Samuel, they packaged some picks. They have two first-round picks still, even after trading one. They've got a couple next year. So, I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't make a move to bring Deebo Samuel in here. They need another receiver. They need a veteran receiver. You can't sit here and belittle Jalen Hurts if you're not going to give him weapons. They did the same thing with Donovan McNabb, same thing with Carson Wentz. And then when the quarterbacks don't perform, it's their fault. give the guy some weapons, for God's sakes. You have Devontae Smith. You have Dallas Goedert. They need another weapon. But they've got a couple of first-round picks. I don't think anyone trusts Howie Roseman because he's not had any sort of anything to show for it over the years with some of his really poor drafts. Maybe they trade up as well. They've talked about, they like Gardner, the cornerback at Cincy. I would love to see Matthew here as a safety maybe, or Debo. They got to do something. They've got some picks to play with.
FanDuel has props up for each team, guys. So whatever your team is, we'll go over this throughout the week. But so the Philadelphia Eagles, what's the position of the player that they will take? Defensive lineman is plus 250. Wide receiver is 3-1. Cornerback plus 340. Offensive lineman 6-1. Safety plus 650. Linebacker plus 750. So it was great getting you on. Big man, it's been too long. We'll definitely do it again. And, hey, around the corner, man, we have the World Cup coming up here. We got to get you on here. We'll definitely talk some soccer, man, as the World Cup comes up. It's going to rapidly approach before we know it.
No Italy. Crazy.
Yeah, I know. Who would have thought? Canada made it, and USA make it, but Italy does not.
And I will say one thing before I let you go. This Utah Jazz team, what a bunch of clowns this team is. I mean, seriously. And they're getting cooked by bench players. Pretty pathetic. Quinn Snyder will not go to Rudy Gobert in this tournament, in this series. Just pathetic. What a weak team that is.
And the thing is, talking about him to the Lakers and thinking, well, you guys lose this. I don't know if the Lakers are going to want him, but the question is, I don't know who wants the Laker job.
I'll take it. Much.
Yeah. Are you buddies with Clutch? You got to be. Are you buddies with LeBron?
I'll tell you what. Wouldn't mind being buddies with Jeannie Buss. I'm in on her if she's interested.
Or Adele.
I mean, how hot is Jeannie Buss at 6 years old? She's a billionaire, I think. Just great. I'm interested.
Big man, hey, we have a lot of listeners in L.A. She could be tuning in, big man. You just took your shot.
Shout out to Jeannie, shooting my shot.
Big man on campus. Great stuff, big man. Thanks for taking the time to be with us. Follow big man on Twitter. He's always stirring the pot and causing trouble online. Big man, and talking a lot of stuff, not just sports. Always a pleasure, big man. Thanks a lot for taking the time
Gabe,
to be with
us. Enjoy the game. Talk to you soon, brother.
The Late Night Anger Management Class, the Friday Night Freak Show. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Take what you got.
3 minute warning. Quickest 180 minutes in sports talk radio. All right, thanks to Matthias. Good job tonight, Matthias. I know you're pulling double duty, working with Carver and Lisi. And we'll see Carver and Lisi in Sin City in a couple of days. Matthias, what do you got for us on the way out here? UFC tomorrow, what are you betting on?
Gabe, I'm betting on Clay Guida. I think he gets the job done. I think they've been throwing him some nice fights. You know, his pressure always seems to get to their opponents. And this is another fight where, you know, he's going up against a grappler. And I wouldn't want to grapple against Clay Guida. You know, he's the man. He's the man of the hour when it comes to grappling. He will take you down. And I'm going with Andrade to finish Lemos. Any single time I see Andrade get to fight a girl who's not at her caliber of strength, that fight usually ends pretty quickly. And Andrade gets the win. If it's a body blow, if it's a shot to the head, you know, I think of the fight where Andrade beat Caitlin Chookagian. Chookagian's a great fighter, but at the same time, the second that Andrade lands that shot to her body or to her frame, she crumbles. And I expect this to happen again tomorrow. Andrade by TKO.
All right. First game up tomorrow, Toronto Raptors and the Philadelphia 76ers. Take the Toronto Raptors plus the half point in the first quarter. Take the Toronto Raptors in the first half as well. Let's get you to the updated number for the first half here. This is the way to go here with these things. We've been talking about this. So the first half, the Raptors are plus one. So you get the Raptors at plus one, and for the half, you get the Raptors plus a half a point. I think they will come out strong. Similar situation with Brooklyn tomorrow. Sort of like, it's like betting a horse you think is going to win, man. You bet the quarter, you bet the half, and then you bet the game itself, right? The win place and the show. And if you hit two or three of them, then it's not bad. And I think that's the way to go here. The Dallas-Utah game is just so strange. I want to know about Luka, which we don't. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.